We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 17. And I thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the truth of His Word. I'm thankful that when we open the Bible, we don't have to wonder which parts are true. Right. Amen. That His Word is perfect and preserved and powerful and present. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have it. I invite you to stand as we read our text, Isaiah 17. Stand if you're able. And we'll read this entire chapter. It's just 14 verses. Isaiah chapter 17, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn, and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches. Therefore, saith the Lord God of Israel, at that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, and as an uppermost branch, which they left because of all of the children of Israel. And there shall be desolation. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief, and of desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and of the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us." This is in some parts it seems like hard to be understood passage of Scripture, but I believe there's some truths here that will help us as we look at this Scripture together. And so let's take a moment to pray and ask for God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the precious songs we've heard sung about our Savior. And Lord, for your faithfulness and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us that we could be saved. Lord, if we lived a million years on this earth and tried to work our way to heaven, we'd never get there. But through the grace and the great precious blood that was shed of Jesus Christ, Lord, we can be saved and we can have that assurance of salvation. We're thankful for that. God, we're thankful for your working in our lives. And though many times we may not understand, Lord, we know that you work all things together for our good. We're thankful for this day that's been set aside, Lord, to recognize your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, your will, as we heard about in the Sunday school time, that's what we desire at this time. Father, would you grace us with your presence and your power? Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding of your word and of our own hearts, our own lives, dear God. May you open up the book and search us today, and may we be helped and instructed. Lord, may our hearts be closer to you as a result of our time together. And Lord, we pray for sinners to be saved and the saints to be revived. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This chapter is dealing with Damascus, but also dealing with the nation of Israel. Israel had entered into an alliance with Damascus. It seemed to have been a marriage of convenience, one might say. Damascus is the capital of Syria. And so Israel and Syria had gotten together and made this alliance because Israel thought that Syria had something that they needed. And God in this chapter is going to remind them, and through his dealings with them and through his word, that everything that they need, he has. You know, I think that's a good reminder for us in these days. Listen, especially as God's people, to be reminded that what's really important, what we need, the Lord has for us. There is no need to go to Syria. There's no need to go to Egypt. There's no need to go to Babylon. God has what we need. All that's found in the world, we heard this morning in the Sunday school time, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's all the world can offer. And with all of those things comes hurt and pain and loss. But with God, there can be a great harvest. Here they went to Syria, and the Lord uses some imagery for us so that we can maybe better understand what he's saying to the nation. He's talking about this harvest that they're looking to. And he likens the nation here to a tree. And he's dealing with this nation, and this nation, they've gone to Israel's gone to Syria thinking that Syria has what they need and that they'll become prosperous and fruitful and grow if they can just tap into some of those Syrian secrets to growth and prosperity. But the Lord is going to show them that it's not through the means of Syria, and it's not even through the means of Israel. It's not through the means and the work of human hands that our lives are full and prosperous. It is due to the good hand of God upon our lives. When we go to the world, we find that we lose. And this is kind of the sense of what the Lord is saying here in Isaiah chapter 17. The great sin that's mentioned in this chapter and what really caused all this to come about is mentioned in verse number 10. In verse 10, he says this, "Thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been," and read that next word with me out loud, "thou hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength." As I looked up this word, I was focusing on this word as I was studying last night, the word mindful. It's a very descriptive word, isn't it? You say, what does it mean? It means to have your mind full. Well, that's deep, isn't it? You drove all the way to church to hear that this morning. What does mindful mean? It means what your mind is full of. And listen, you say, well, what's he saying here? If you look at verse 10 again, look at the first part. He says, "Thou hast forgotten." Thou hast forgotten. Pastor mentioned I have 11 children, and some of them not children anymore. I got old ones and I got young ones. And one thing that really, really grinds me as a parent, and I'm not here to fuss this morning especially, but I will a little bit, is when I tell my children to do something and it doesn't get done and they say, "I forgot. I forgot." And that seems, kids, that seems like a great explanation, doesn't it? That seems like a great excuse. Well, I would have. I was willing to, but I forgot. You know what? I was thinking about that last night as I was looking at this. The reason why they forget is because their mind is not full of what they were told. Their mind was full of something else, playing or eating, amen, in the case of the boys, you know, or this or that. And so they've got their mind on something else. And so what they were instructed to do, they did not do. They forgot because their mind was full of other things. This is what happened to the nation of Israel. Maybe they had taken God for granted, and they'd taken God's blessings for granted. And it wasn't, as you read through this passage, it's not that the nation of Israel is saying, God, we don't want you anymore. They don't say that. No, not at all. It's not that they're saying, we don't want you. They're just saying, we want Syria as well as you. And they were not appreciative of what God had done. They were not thinking about the blessings that God had brought in their life. That's one thing I appreciate about the day today, is that you're being mindful of what God has done at Grace Baptist Church in Portland. You're thinking about our humble beginnings and how the Lord blessed and grew and prospered and multiplied, and his hand of power was upon you. You saw people get saved and families restored, and all of that was due to God's blessing and God's hand. And we're being mindful of what God has done. It's so easy for us to forget all that God has done, and then we start looking elsewhere. We look to ourselves, or we look to the world, and we forget that our blessings come from the great blesser of mankind, God Almighty. They were not mindful of God, and so that's really was the reason why they went to Damascus, to Syria, in the first place, because they felt that they were lacking something and Damascus could help them, and they'd forgotten that God was the one who had blessed them to that point and who could bless them going forward. You notice, in spite of their alliance with Damascus and in spite of the great effort that they put into it, it was doomed to fail. And the Lord made sure it failed. You know, it's so much easier just to do things the way that God would have them done. It's so much easier just to follow God's will and God's plan. Many times we think the easy way is our own way. But as was mentioned again in the Sunday school time, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's harder to live life without God than life with God. And so they've gone to Damascus, they've made this alliance, they've forgotten God. God was not in all their thoughts. And so their attempts to promote themselves and to prosper themselves fails. He mentions throughout this passage, he talks about Damascus itself being a ruinous heap. And he talks about in verse 3 that the remnant of Syria should be as the glory of the children of Israel. You thought, well, that must be glorious. Well, the next verse tells us what the glory of Israel was. In verse 4, it says, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin. You know what he's saying? Listen, they're going to be in the same boat. They've made this alliance trying to help each other, and they've done it outside of me. And what's gonna result of this is that they're, instead of being flourishing and prospering and growing and multiplying, they're gonna be made thin. They are going to decrease. They're gonna become a ruinous heap. He mentions that their harvest was just going to be a heap of grief and sorrow in verse number 11. He says, in the day that shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. You're working and striving to get all of these things and to promote yourself and to make yourself prosperous and have all of these things, and you're chasing after all of these things of the world, and you're going to work so hard, and at the end of the day, you're going to have nothing to show for it. but grief and sorrow. It reminds me of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul tells Timothy that they that will be rich heap to themselves sorrow and pierce themselves through with many arrows. What's the teaching here? He's saying, if it's your desire to gain in the things of this world, and you're chasing after riches, and you're chasing after prosperity, you're going to have a harvest, but that harvest will be sorrow. That harvest will just be a complete failure. God is telling the nation of Israel, if you want success, you're going to have to come through me. It's not your alliance with Damascus that's going to get you through. It's not your savings account or your 401k or your retirement or your investments. What's really going to amount to anything is that connection you have to God. Because the things of this world are going to fade. They're going to die off. This whole world's going to burn up one day. There is nothing in this world worth living for except Him. Now, he talks about, in verse number 6, he talks about this olive tree. And I want us to look at it for just a few minutes more this morning. In verse 6, he says, "Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it." So he's compared the nation to a tree, and he says, "Gleaning grapes shall be left in it as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God of Israel." He's painting a picture for us, and the nation is as a tree, and it's a fruitful tree. Because at first, their alliance with Damascus, they seem to blossom. Everything seemed to be going well. And yet, it was doomed to failure. And God comes along, and he says, you know, this tree, it looks great. It looks very fruitful. It looks very prosperous. I wonder how it does after I shake it. And he shakes the nation. And all the fruit falls out of the tree except two or three berries in the uppermost bough. And then the branches, the outmost branches, four or five on the outmost branches. We lived in Florida for several years. It wasn't all what it was cracked up to be, amen? And in this house we rented in our yard, there's a couple of fruit trees. That was nice. We had a grapefruit tree. We had an orange tree. We had these little, I don't know, what are they, clementines? Clementines or something like that, tree, a couple of those. And, it was nice in the morning. Just go out and get your breakfast off the tree. And usually I'd send Ben or Sarah, say, hey, go out and see if you can get some fruit off that tree. And they, you know, they'd try and most times fail. They're all small. So I'd have to go out there. So I'd go out there. And I just grabbed the tree, and I just shake it, because I was too fat to climb, amen? Just shake that tree, and wait for the fruit to drop, you know? And, you know, so I did that for a while. After a while, no more would drop, and then I had to get Ben to climb the tree, and he would climb the tree, and he'd get as much as he could reach. But there seemed like there was always, in the top of the tree, there's always some fruit he couldn't get to. And then on the branches way out there, at the end of the branch, he didn't want to go to the end of the branch to get the fruit off the tree. And so there's always some fruit left over there. And that's kind of what the Lord said, I'm going to shake that tree, and there's not going to be much left. And of course, he's talking about a time of judgment. And he's shaking away. It's almost a picture of mine. He's shaking away all the non-essentials from their lives. He said, I'm only going to leave a little bit of fruit on the tree. There's only going to be a remnant. Now, I want you to understand this. the remnant is enough. The remnant is enough. God's not going to leave you in a lurch. But he will deplete some things from our lives that we've come to depend on too much. He'll remove those things. And so when you look at this tree, he said there's some berries in the top, there's some berries on the outmost branches. God was going to shake them, to shake loose of the unnecessary things in their lives. God does that. He does that. For the purpose, why? What is the purpose? Why would God do this? Why would God allow this to be done? Remember verse 10? They had forgotten God. They had not been mindful of Him. They had not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. And so it is in our lives many times. God will purge things from us so that we'll realize, listen, it's not Damascus that we need. It's not Damascus that has brought us thus far. It's been the good hand of God upon us. We need to look back to our Maker. Look at verse number 7. He says, at that day, after He shakes the tree, after he makes us uncomfortable, after He loosens us from the things that we've been depending on, at that day shall a man look to his Maker. You know when you're the best prayer? When you're in trouble. That's when you pray the best. That's when you pray the most earnestly. That's when you really get serious about God and really get serious about eternity and really get serious on the things that are serious. When things are going well, when the tree is full, we tend to forget God. And we tend to think we brought this in our lives, or this one's brought it in our lives, or that one's brought it in our lives, and we get turned away. Listen, can I just speak real clear to you? So many churches that began with humble beginnings, like most churches do, and God blessed them and strengthened them and prospered them to the point now where they've grown and they're shining as a light of the community. So many of them, sadly, are now looking to the world. They're looking to Syria. Hey, how can we grow more? How can we prosper more? How can we reach more? And how can we pad our financials more? They're going to the world to get fruit on the tree. And they've forgotten that it was God's hand, that it was the old time way, that's the old hymns and the old preaching of the Word of God that God used to build the church, and that's what He'll use to sustain it. Amen. Don't look to Syria. So I think about this tree and I think about what was left. He talks about the uppermost branches. I think there's significance in this. The uppermost branches would be the ones that are the highest. They are the ones that are, we could say, closest to God, closest to their Maker. You know what he's saying? Listen, you think you need all of this, but this is what you really need. You need to draw nigh to me. If there's anything that's going to be fruitful in your life, make sure it's your walk with God. He talks about the outmost branches. And so the uppermost branches, they're reaching up. That's what a branch does. Reaches out, doesn't it? And then he talks about the outmost branches. They're reaching out. You know, I believe what has been a success at this church has been people reaching up toward God and people reaching out toward others. You know, when it's all said and done, that's all that really matters. That is all that really matters. Well, we got to have this. We got to have that. We got to have this program, that program. And I'm not against programs, but let me tell you, it's so easy to get away from what God has called us to be and God has called us to do. And that is to walk humbly with our God, walk with God, have a real relationship with God, and then reach out to those around us. Reach out to the lost. Reach out to your brethren and try to help and strengthen them. Just get back to the basics of what God planted us to do to begin with. We don't need Syria's way. Down through this chapter, and I don't have time to really develop it, but he talks about these strange slips that they use in verse 10. He talks about the pleasant plants. If you study those things out, they were, when it says strange slips, they're talking about foreign. They sent out and they tried to get the ways of Damascus and the ways of Syria and use them in Israel. Well, it worked in Damascus, so it'll work here. Listen, we're not Syrians.
That's right.
Amen. We're not Syrians. We're God's people. Well, it works in the world. It should work in the church. No, no, no. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It's a living thing. It's the body of Jesus Christ, and we don't need the world to make it grow. Amen. I'm about to get stirred up now. Praise God. I'm saying that the old time way still works. Those uppermost branches and those outmost branches, reach up and reach out. Reach up and reach out. If you'll do that, you'll be all right. Now, let me give you a few things here as we close. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And I'm a Baptist, so I'm hungry. I want to give you three things that God says in His Word He wants us to be mindful of, and I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to preach them. Of course, in our text, really, this will bring reminders to our text as we read Deuteronomy 32. And look at verse 18. This is the song of Moses. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. You know what we need to do? We need to be mindful of in these days of our God who begat us. We're born again. Listen, if you're this morning and you've only had one birth, can I tell you, you need to be born again. And you can't make yourself be born again no more than you made yourself be born the first time. It takes a divine power to cause one to be born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And He is the way to be born again. And so He says, be mindful of the God, the rock that begat thee, and the God that formed thee. Be mindful of God. Are you mindful of God in your days? I know we're thinking about God today because we're in church, but how about tomorrow? You need to be mindful of Him each and every day. In 1 Chronicles, look at this with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And look at verse number 15. First Chronicles 16, verse 15. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. You know, you ought to be mindful of the Word of God. Your mind ought to be full of this book. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy meditations, or thy law is my meditation all the day. Be mindful of the Word of God. Be mindful of the God of the Word. Amen. And then this one, I want us to look at this. Look at Nehemiah chapter 7, or chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Not too far from Chronicles. Nehemiah chapter 9. And this really speaks to what we're doing here today. Nehemiah 9, verse 17. They refused to obey, look at this, neither were mindful of thy wonders. Mindful of thy wonders. You know what Grace Baptist Church is? It's a wonder. What God has done. It's a thing of wonder. It's wonderful. Amen? Where God's truth is being preached and there's a collection of believers that come together, God puts it on their heart to establish a church and to be a witness and a beacon in the community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. That God could take a family that was fractured and through the work of the gospel, put that family back together. That's a wonderful thing. That God could take a young person who's been astray and chasing after the things of the world and bring them back and restore them back to truth. That's a wonderful thing. Be mindful of the wonderful works of God. Amen. It's hard to be mindful of the wonders of God when you're watching the news. Amen. But here's our problem. We get more news than we get Bible. We think more about our problems than we think about God's provision. And the challenge that I would give to us today is that we would be mindful of our God, of His Word, and of His wonders. Because we serve a great God. We serve an all-powerful God. There is nothing that is too hard for Him. There's nothing that's beyond His wisdom. There's nothing that's beyond His love. Thank God for our God of wonders. Boy, I sure appreciate a day we just think about all the wonderful works that God has done. He's faithful. He's forgiving. Praise God for that. He's faultless. He's our Father. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You, God, for the reminder that all that we have, all that we need, we find in You. I thank You most of all for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus. The sin.